Did you know that in Germany we throw around 12 million metric tons of food into the trash can each year? And 52% of that food waste alone is generated in private households. We throw away approximately 75 kilograms of food per person per year. Looking at these numbers, our food system seems flawed.
And on top of that, living in a climate crisis, the global food production accounts for more than one-third of greenhouse gas emissions. Emissions from the production of animal foods are almost twice as high as those from the production of plant foods. And the global food production in total contributes 35% to greenhouse gas emissions worldwide, according to researchers.
Now throwing away so much food seems twice as crazy. And we could continue to talk about costs of transportation of food created by imports and exports, or the amount of meat we eat. Health is another important issue, because currently 70% of all deaths in Europe can be ascribed to non-communicable diseases that are affected by what and how much we eat.
So, with all these aspects in mind, we invited José Luis Vicente Vicente and Beatriz Waldthal. They both work at the Leibniz Center for Agricultural Landscape Research in Brandenburg, which is close to Berlin. And they are both researchers in the project Food Shift 2030, which aims to make our food systems more sustainable. And we are really looking forward to find out how they plan on doing so. Querfeld ein Podcast. Wir reden über die Landwirtschaft der Zukunft.
What are currently the biggest problems in our food system?
Yeah, I think one big problem within this food topic is the complexity itself. So there's not just one problem we are facing, but many interconnected problems. For instance, that we have increasing urbanization, which is then also driving different food consumption patterns leading to malnutrition, but also it has linkages to the climate impact. So the way we eat, the way we consume has an effect on the environment. And all of these problems are not separate, but interconnected. And that is the actual challenge, that they are so interconnected. So they're like, yeah, we call it also feedback loops, that it doesn't help if you just focus on health, how to create healthy diets, how to improve the food, if you don't look at other patterns like the effect on the climate or land use patterns and so on and so forth. So the interconnectedness of many different topics in the food system, that is the actual challenge.
Yeah, actually, I would like to say that we say that the food systems are socio-ecological systems. This is what Beatrice is saying, that when we are eating, we are impacting at the social, but also the ecological sides. So we have to consider both sides, at least when we eat, but also when we produce. We have the consumption, we have the production. So the, as Beatrice said, this is the complexity, this high level of different loops, feedbacks, and we have to have all of these things in mind when working on the topic.
What would for you be the ideal sustainable food system?
We think that the food system should be regional, should be seasonal, but should be also socially fair. There is now a new concept saying that we should achieve agroecology-based local agri-food systems. That is, we have to be able to produce a wide variety of products regionally, seasonally, and sustainably, of course. And on the other hand, we have to adapt our diets to the soil and climatic conditions of the area. So we have to work on both sides, on the production, the agricultural landscapes. We need to transform the agricultural landscapes in order to provide a wide variety of food products. And on the other hand, we have to work on the consumers or the eaters.
basically, I agree with what you've said, but maybe to frame it in a different way, or I guess the question has two components. The one is what is sustainable, and the other one is mm-hmm. a food system. And I would argue that it's not just one single food system, but that we have many different food systems. And so there is a diversity necessary, that we don't have just one big global food system or mm-hmm. one local food system. It's not achievable to have one monolithic dogmatic concept, but a diversity. And that leads to the question of what is sustainable and sustainable for whom. I also like mm-hmm. to use the term or speak of resilience, that it is basically what makes a food system sustainable. If it is resilient, it can cope with crises, it can adapt to uncertainty, and it has a certain balance. It can, once there is a crisis coming, it has a balancing power that it can rebound. So how does the diversity help? Well, if there is a challenge or a crisis on a global level mm-hmm. in the global food system, the regionalized or localized food system can come in and compensate for the gaps or the challenges, and vice versa.
What crisis were you thinking of? What is threatening the food system?
I would say there are many crises. There's not just one. They are short-term and long-term. One current example we faced was the COVID, the pandemic. We saw lots of interruptions in the seemingly perfectly functioned system. But then there are also long-term crises we see, which is the climate change. But I would also say the social question is a crisis. We can see that healthy food is not just a question of the so-called, I would say, global south, or like countries in South America and Africa and India and Asia. Mm-hmm. It is also a problem in Western countries where, we've lost also our judgment of what is actually healthy and how much is healthy. So in short, I would say there are many short-term, long-term crises. Mm-hmm. It's the unpredictability, it's the uncertainty that is a constant factor that the food system has to be ready to react to.
Where do you see the biggest challenges on the way to a more sustainable food system?
Now, from my personal perspective, I would say the biggest challenge is the mindset of the uh-huh. people. It's not just politicians or farmers or consumers individually, but the mindset. And for a long time, the German culture had the stereotype of being like this innovator and pioneer and visionary and really good at developing new things. But for my perception is that in the last couple of years or decades, that the Germans got also a little lazy or on this label and said, oh, we are good, we don't need to improve. And so they kind of got stuck and stable, and they're not so open-minded and creative to look for new solutions, but they're kind of resting on their image that they have, and that's it, that's enough. But they're missing the chance of innovating and developing more. And if we look at outside of Germany, we see there's so many creative things happening. And other countries actually become the pioneers and visionaries, and Germany mm-hmm. is falling behind.
The other thing, we have a good instrument now in the European Union, which is the farm to fork strategy, which in theory it is perfect, but it is completely isolated from the common agricultural policy. The European Union is not able to link them at this moment. So if you don't link the farm to fork with the common agricultural policy, there is no solution. So mm-hmm. we should not isolate the German system from the whole European system.
So I was just asking myself, these food hubs are not intended to replace existing infrastructures like supermarkets.
So we can demonstrate that it is possible to create alternative food networks, because if you want to create an alternative food system, you have to start with, as Beatrice said before, with small alternative food networks, and then somehow create a system, a huge system, which is more interconnected. And I would like to be a little bit more radical now, in the way that, I think that now we should be in this transition phase where supermarkets should be able to live or co-live with the alternative food networks. But eventually, these alternative food networks should be more important than the supermarkets, because the supermarkets and the globalized food system is the cause of the problem we are facing at this moment, the planetary emergency. So eventually, the supermarkets should be, just as Beatrice said, for some specific products you cannot produce in the area. And then for the normal things, normal, the like vegetables, fruit, the basic things, you can go to the CSA farms.
If change is coming, what does that mean for the prices?
I am an environmental scientist, sorry. Mm-hmm. But for me, prices are something artificial. So you can modify the prices however you want. Now we are, the prices, the food prices we have in Europe, they are artificially low because of they are highly subsidized. So the European Union decided to subsidize some products and not other products. Prices in organic farming and agroecological farming are very high because they are not subsidized.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the whole discussion.
Our pleasure. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Wie viele Kaffees waren es heute schon? Kaffee spielt im Leben vieler eine sehr große Rolle. Und das nicht nur zu Hause oder im Café, sondern auch am Arbeitsplatz. Dafür gibt es Lavazza Professional. Kaffee am Arbeitsplatz, der genauso lecker schmeckt wie in eurem Lieblingscafé. Die perfekte Kaffeelösung für jede Art von Unternehmen. Klein, mittel, groß. Ihr habt auf jeden Fall einen Kaffee, der schmeckt. Die richtige Motivation für eure Arbeitstage. Alle Infos zu Lavazza Professional findet ihr auf lavazzapro.de mit allen Kaffeelösungen für euer Büro.
Ich habe mich natürlich schockverliebt, weil die war wirklich ganz, ganz klein.
So begann die Mensch-Hund-Beziehung zwischen Christina und Tierschutzhund Frieda. Und wie es danach, nach dem ersten Moment der Verliebtheit, so weiterging und welche Klippen es danach zu umschiffen galt, das hört ihr in der neuen Ausgabe von Iswas Dog, dem Podcast für harmonische Mensch-Hund-Beziehungen.
Iswas Dog mit Malte Asmus.
Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.